This is a HeadGum Original.
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient, comfortable. Ah.
Never rat on your friends, and always keep your mouth shut.
As far back as I can remember, I always wanted to be a gangster.
Hey, Mom, what do you think?
You look like a gangster.
I know I'd go.
By the time I grew up, there was $30 billion a year in cargo moving through Idlewild Airport. Believe me, we tried to steal every bit of it.
What do you do?
I'm in construction.
He's not Jewish.
Mazel tov.
For most of the guys, killing's got to be accepted.
Hey, Henry, here's an arm.
Very funny, guys.
Here's a leg.
Here's a wing. What do you like, the leg or the wing? It's you.
For us to live any other way was nuts. And we were treated like movie stars with muscle. We had it all just for the asking.
It's gonna be a good summer.
It was a glorious time.
In a world that's powered by violence, on the streets where the violent have power, a new generation carries on an old tradition.
Working our way through the filmography of Martin Scorsese and producer Allie and producer Anya are here.
We are going to be doing 10 episodes this season, and we've picked all the essential movies of Scorsese's super long and prolific career, as you know, as told, that are essential to us. We simply don't know. But of course, we can't get to everything. But today we're going to be discussing the film based on Nicholas Pileggi's book, Wise Guy, 1990s Goodfellas.
And Goodfellas is available for free on Hulu or for a fee on any major streamer. And guess what? We're going to spoil it. Wow.
Duh.
Boy, oh boy.
I can't wait. We're so excited for our guests today. Caitlin Durante and Jamie Loftus are creators and co-hosts of The Bechdel Cast, a comedy podcast that examines movies through an intersectional feminist lens. Along with both being comedians and writers, Caitlin is also the host of Sludge, an American Healthcare Story, which examines the broken and biased healthcare system in the U.S. And Jamie recently finished her work on Lolita Podcast, a feminist and survivor-focused documentary series on Lolita by Vladimir Nabokov and all of its crummy adaptations. We're so excited, Caitlin and Jamie. Thank you for being here.
Oh my gosh, thanks for having us.
Just the wisest guys in podcasting.
I love it. Okay, just...
This is perfect to have a feminist lens of Goodfellas right now.
One of the most feminist movies I've ever seen. Are you two familiar with old Marty Scorsese?
Pretty familiar, I would say. Yeah, I've seen most of his movies. Oh, not to brag.
I've seen, like... I think I've seen four. It's so hard because I feel like I lie about... movies I've seen so frequently that I forget what I've actually seen. I think I've seen like four of them. I've seen The Wolf of Wall Street. I've seen The Departed. I've seen this. I saw Killers of the Flower Moon. I've seen like 20% of them.
Okay. Yeah.
That's a pretty good batting average here on this podcast.
Yeah.
So what are people's general thoughts? Had you seen Goodfellas before this podcast today?
I had seen it quite a few times. Again, not to brag, but I do own it on DVD.
Ooh,
currently.
DVD.
Oh yeah. And I bought it like when it was still appropriate to buy DVDs, and I've hung on to it all those years.
I feel like every time you've had a few drinks and we are like hosting at your place, you'll bring out the DVD binder and thrill guests with it.
That really is a fun way to watch a movie. It's so annoying to scroll forever trying to find something. And like, if you have limited options in a folder, it's like, you're going to pick something and you're going to enjoy it and you're going to watch it. It's like, you just commit.
This is it.
And the DVD menu is so such a romantic concept. There's so many.
Yeah, like, it's like, what else am I going to do? I'm going to watch the movie.
Mm-hmm. I know. I remember one time my friend had bootleg DVDs of Wonder Years because they never made them at the time because of the music was copyrighted or whatever. We got really stoned and watched that and then fell asleep and we woke up and it was just like, whoa, what did you do? Like repeating for like hours, like the menu. So good. That doesn't happen these days.
It sure doesn't.
And all the special features and the director's commentaries.
Bloopers. Oh my God. So much good stuff.
I only saw Goodfellas once because we covered it on the Bechdel cast last year because it's a feminist masterpiece, obviously. But I really this was a movie that I'm like, I don't want to have to hand it to Goodfellas. But then I watched it. I was like, this movie is so good.
It is so good. Mm-hmm. And I had never seen it. But there was one part, I realized I had actually walked in on my husband watching one part of it, like when they're flushing the Coke down the toilet. Uh-huh. So I was like, what's this? And like, that was like, so it sparked a memory of me not knowing what was going on, which I have a lot of those.
I had never seen it. And my God, it's a perfect movie. The last like 45 minutes of it, I was like, I feel on edge. I feel anxiety. And then I did some quick Googling and that's what old Marty wanted you to feel. The quick cuts are on purpose. So the acting was the writing. And then I found out that during rehearsals, I did improv and then he incorporated it. I loved it.
Oh, cool.
I didn't know that.
It is such a good movie.
It really is.
Well, what's wild about Goodfellas is that he basically makes the same exact movie 2 decades later when he makes Wolf of Wall Street. Yeah. I don't know if you're going to do that one on the show
we've
this season.
We've seen that one, so we're not covering it. But there are connections for sure. Yeah. Okay, we're going to jump into our fun little segment called Spotted, where we see if today's movie has any of the following celeb sightings. Do we get one of Marty's boys? Do we get Robert De Niro, Harvey Keitel, Joe Pesci, or Leonardo DiCaprio?
Ooh, baby.
We obviously get De Niro. Uh-huh. We obviously get Joe Pesci. Uh-huh. I think that's it. And again, Joe Pesci. Okay, wait. I have to bring this up now because we've been talking about him for episodes and episodes now. And I haven't even mentioned that I was in a commercial with Joe Pesci like, like 12, 13 years ago or something like that. Right. Yeah. And it was, I think, a Super Bowl commercial. Or it was a Snickers commercial where I was with him and Don Rickles. And maybe we can play it on, like, plug it in or something later. But whoa. It was really cool. It was one of my first jobs ever in LA. And like, I had to audition so many times. It was like one of those things where like they just have you keep doing it over and over for a commercial where like there's not much I can even do. I only have a couple lines, whatever, but I had to like show many different people that I could say those things, which was good because on the day it was with Joe Pesci and Don Rickles and I was like totally nervous.
Did they tell you?
What? Yeah, I knew that. Oh, okay. I don't know when I found that out. I think it was during the process that I knew that it was a big celebrity thing or something, but
should we watch it?
Yeah, let's watch it. Yeah. Did you find it?
Yes. I found it. I think I found it. It's quick, but I'm going to see if okay, hold on. Let me see if I can do this. I have to watch it immediately. So I figured you guys.
It's great. You're going to
want to see it.
Was he nice?
He was. So he was, he basically directed the commercial, even though he wasn't the director. I do remember him like really telling people what to do. And that was great. And I think I can say that he had on platform shoes.
Oh, I love a man in heels. I love Joe Pesci. There's something about him that really gets me going. I feel insane being like, Joe Pesci. But I find him to be so like sexy.
He is.
I get it.
He has so much charisma.
So much charisma. Really, and
yeah, and then Don Rickles came in and insulted all the crew, which everyone was like dying laughing. They, it was like everything
they've all dreamed of. And
they were like roasting. Yes. He was roasting them. Do you know about Joe Pesci's music career?
Oh my God, I was about to say the same thing. Caitlin and I are obsessed with Joe Pesci's album. He has a song called Wise Guy. And the lyrics, wait, I have the lyrics up already. It's the song starts, it's the bitches that'll get yous. It's the bitches that'll get yous. Hey, hey, paid out my ass. Like it, and it keeps going from there.
Wow.
And then he also has a Christmas album.
Now I know really, what I'm listening to for the rest of the day.
I was going to say, there you have it.
Wow.
This is all set.
Okay. Let's see if we can quit. Let me know if you can hear this.
Okay, cool.
So you guys grew up together?
Yeah, since third grade. What are you looking at?
I'm not looking at anything.
We're not good enough for you. You look for something else?
No, I just, I don't know.
What are you, big supermodels? Jesus. Supermodels. What are you, model gloves? What are you doing? The girl's totally into me.
Brad, eat a Snickers.
Why?
Because you get a little angry when you're hungry. Better?
Better. So, ladies.
So, losers.
Stacy, relax.
I'm sorry. You're not you when you're hungry. Snickers satisfies.
The Stacy relax really gets me. Wow. But everything Joe Pesci says gets me. Oh,
it's I know.
Such
it's
a funny commercial.
I honestly am having this moment with him where I'm like, and I'm sure there are many people are going to roll their eyes at this, but I know Nicole will understand what I'm saying. I know him from Home Alone, okay? And to watch him in these roles, it makes it so funny that he committed to doing Home Alone and like anything kid related.
Uh-huh.
It's like it makes that role so much funnier knowing all of this history and watching him be like this super hardcore, like killing people and swearing so much and everything. And it's like it's so funny to me. And same with that commercial. I'm like, oh, the commercial's funnier now that I know even more backstory 10, 12 years later. But yeah.
So Home Alone and Goodfellas came out the same year. So Goodfellas came out in September.
That is so insane to me.
That is so wild. Truly showing off the range.
Truly.
I mean, in one year? Yeah. You took those jobs back to back. I'm obsessed.
Yeah, they came out 2 months apart. That's fucking nuts.
That's so awesome.
I love it.
That is crazy. Because that, in my mind, that Goodfellas feels much older.
Yes.
And because, of course, it takes place over so many decades, like I kind of like put it back further in my mind. But I'm like, no, it's right there. Like when we were little kids, it came out. That's so crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, as part of Spotted, we also were looking for Marty's mom, Catherine Scorsese.
She is in it.
Yes.
She has one of the funniest parts.
Yes.
Do you want to see my painting? Like,
She's so funny. She's so cute. Charming.
She's great.
And then Marty himself. Do we see Marty himself in the movie?
I don't think we do.
Yeah, I don't think we do. But his mom is so hilarious as Joe Pesci's mom.
Oh, she's great.
It's my favorite scene.
Like they kill a guy and then she insists that they sit down for dinner.
And he's like, I just need a knife.
Also, there's a clock in that scene where the clock says 3 o'clock and it's nighttime. So I think they're eating at like 3 a.m. Either that or they just didn't care that much about like the production design.
No, I think it was the middle of the night and she wakes up and she's like, oh, I never see him. We have to have a meal. Like,
And she knows that he's like in the mob and she's proud of him. So she's like, yeah, come in at 3 a.m. Of course I have food for you. I love it.
Yeah. I feel like she tells her friends like, my son works nights and just like doesn't get more specific.
Okay, we're going to take a quick break. And when we get back, we will jump into Goodfellas.
If you're wondering what a NordVPN is, I'll tell you. VPN stands for Virtual Private Network, a service that protects your internet connection and online privacy. A VPN creates an encrypted tunnel for your data, protect your online identity by hiding your IP address, and allow you to use public Wi-Fi hotspots safely. I'm using a NordVPN myself. And honestly, it's very easy to use. You connect with one click to enable auto connect for zero click protection. It has amazing speed. NordVPN is one of the fastest VPNs out there, and it supports every major platform: Windows, Android, iOS, Linux, even Android TV. You can switch your virtual location to access apps and websites in other countries. Get an exclusive NordVPN deal here at nordvpn.com/newcomers. NordVPN.com/newcomers. It's risk-free with Nord's 30-day money-back guarantee. Link is in the episode description.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Ooh, baby, we're back. Goodfellas was released September 19th, 1990. It was written by Nicholas Pellegrini. Pellegrini. And Martin Scorsese. Before we get into this, I just want to say, Lorraine Bracco in this is
amazing.
A tour de fucking force. She is incredible. I know. Oh my God. I love it. And then also, I love how this happened. This is like based on real life. And then it also mimics John Gotti. That same thing happened to him. I think it's Sammy the Bull gave him up. Mob shit is so interesting.
How do you know that?
I know. It's wild, right? In that wild.
Yeah, I was pretending to know.
He brought down the Gotti family. And Gotti also ordered a hit on the boss of that family to become the boss. And then also, I think it's like boss, soldiers, like they all have names when they become made. I know this because I loved Mob Wives. I loved it. And okay. Sammy the Bull's daughter, Karen, is on it. And then it's great.
That's amazing. Oh my God. I feel like I'm not really familiar with the mob stuff. Like I started watching Sopranos and I really want to watch the whole thing, but I didn't get completely sucked in immediately. Mm-hmm. But then I recognized Lorraine Bracco from that as the therapist, right?
She's in it? Okay. Mm-hmm. People keep telling me to watch the Sopranos because I really love mob shit.
It's really good. I'm all over the place with what I watch, obviously. So
I watched the first season twice and I'm like, someday I'll bust through to season two, but it just like has not happened yet.
Yeah.
It's hard. Wait, Nicole, have you seen the movie Gotti?
No, I have not. Is it good? John Travolta plays Gotti, right?
It is famously so, so bad. Ugh. Like Madam Web style bad. Wait,
I love John Travolta.
I do love John Travolta. But also like making a bad movie about Gotti is rude. He's the Teflon Don. Nothing stuck to him. That man did so many incredible things, but like he was a bad criminal who murdered. It's interesting.
He got results.
He did.
he achieved his goals. And we gotta respect that.
That's the American dream.
It sure is.
Okay, let's jump into this plot and talk about our thoughts as we go. But Henry Hill, who's Ray Liotta, Jimmy Conway, Robert De Niro, and Tommy DeVito, Joe Pesci, are in a car late at night. Henry's driving while the other two men sleep, and when they pull over to check where a strange thumping noise is coming from, they find that the dead body that they were hiding in the trunk is actually very much alive and banging to get out. Henry opens the trunk, and Tommy repeatedly stabs the man, which was gnarly, before shooting him to ensure he's dead. Henry narrates, "As far back as I can remember, I always wanted to be a gangster."
I loved this scene. Mm-hmm. It truly sets the tone for the rest of the movie. Joe Pesci is so violent. He's a little ball of violence, and I love it.
So scary, but it is hot when he's being scary.
Yes.
I know.
I understand the Karen line in the context of Joe Pesci only. The other guys, I don't get.
When Karen's husband kicks the ass of the other guy, and then she's like, I couldn't help it. I was turned on. Uh-huh. It's like, it's weird.
That opening scene made me, I was like, if I was in the back of a trunk, I don't know. I feel like I would maybe stay still. I don't know. I just feel like what did that future corpse expect to happen.
Yeah, yeah.
But
yeah,
maybe,
I mean, the second they open the thing, he's just going to be killed officially.
But maybe he got scared. Maybe he's like, oh my God, it's so dark. I passed out. Where am I? Hello?
Yeah, maybe he just didn't know what
happened. He knows where he is. He knows that other wise guys threw him in a trunk. So what
he
should have done.
I saw was Joe Pesci.
He should have played dead until they dragged him out of the trunk, and then he could have gotten up and ran away. And that's how he. That's what I would have done.
Yeah. Caitlin's a mob member. Okay.
Yeah,
I would have stayed very still and like waited for the sweet embrace of death.
I would have let them bury me and then I would have run after.
Ooh,
I
that's good. Crawl out of your grave.
Like Kill Bill style.
Yeah. Yes. I have seen Kill Bill. Okay. Give me that one.
Ooh, I've seen Kill Bill too. I think Kill Bill 1 and Kill Bill 2 are the only. What's his
Tarantino
name?
Movies?
Quentin Tarantino movies. What's his name?
This is the best podcast.
So we go back in time to the 1950s and see young Henry Hill, Christopher Cerrone, idolizing, then slowly becoming involved in the Lucchese family. I don't know how to say that. A gang run by his predominantly Italian blue-collar neighborhood in East Brooklyn, New York. He quits school and becomes a protege of crime boss Cicero. Paul Sorvino, the dad from Romeo and Juliet, who and his wingman, Jimmy Conway.
This was so cute. I really enjoyed watching the story. I love the narration as a choice over this and flashing back to his childhood where you see how he gets into this whole situation. And it's just like a cute story. Also, the music is like crushes the whole movie. Yeah. It's so good. I love this soundtrack so much. It's so fun. And like the 50s music is, which is so like peppy, kind of like fueling this moment where he's like getting into all sorts of trouble is really cool.
It's like there's like a bajillion movies that have tried to do that same thing with like the same, but it feels lazy when some directors do it, but that Martin, he knows what he's doing.
Yeah. And I love Ray Liotta.
Ray Liotta is, boy oh boy, charismatic without trying. I was like in love with him at times, and I just like felt for it. The movie's so well done.
He's so natural as an actor. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Or was, I'm sorry.
Also, the kid they cast to be his younger self looks so much like him. They did such good child acting.
I was actually wondering about that. I was like, did that kid ever work again? Or was it just because he looked exactly like Ray Liotta as a kid that he was like put into this thing? They just found him. They're like, we just need someone who looks like Ray Liotta. Mm-hmm.
I just learned about the whole, like, I don't know. I feel like I've seen the same discussion on Twitter 100 times of, like, actors used to have fucked up teeth, and now they do. But, like, Ray Liotta's teeth are busted in this movie, and I appreciated it. The worse his life gets, the more busted his teeth get. I was like, I feel seen.
I do think that, like, that's something that I appreciate in actors when they don't just fix every single thing about themselves. Like it's so nice. Annette Bening was somebody who I think of, like, where she just ages so beautifully and like, and is just a real person, and it feels so authentic when you watch her. It just does a lot for characters. So Henry's partnered with fellow youngster Tommy DeVito, and they sell bootleg cigarettes that Jimmy gives them. One afternoon, they're busted by detectives and Henry is arrested. And when Henry goes to court and keeps silent, he's celebrated by the gangsters and welcomed into the Lucchese family.
I loved it. I loved that, like, it's like not implied that he needs to stay silent, but he just does it naturally. And then they're like, yes, you're one of us. You didn't rat anybody out. I love it. And then to be a kid being like, oh my God, all these adults are like, I didn't tell the truth to the cops. And
I like that. I feel like it really establishes like that it's kind of like a game to him when he's a kid too. Cause you're like, oh yeah, he just like beat that level of lying in court.
Yeah. I'm just thinking right now, I have to assume this movie doesn't pass the Bechdel test.
No,
I don't remember. We did cover it a year ago, but I don't know what we said.
Probably if it does, not often.
Yeah, I mean, there's like women talking,
but they're talking about their sons and their husbands.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So the Henry Tommy partnership endures into adulthood, and both men become more and more entrenched in the gangster lifestyle. Tommy regularly exhibits his violent short temper to the amusement of Henry and the other gangsters. For money, they steal regularly from the local airport, as well as take over, bankrupt, and burn down a local bar. This scene where Joe Pesci is like, "What do you mean I'm funny? Am I a clown to you? Do you think I'm a clown? What am I, a clown? What do you mean by that? What do you mean by funny?" Oh, I was dying.
It's amazing. And it was like, of course, that's an iconic line that I've heard so mm-hmm. much and never known the context for. It's so good. And then you're like, is he even fucking with him? Or he actually, I feel like he's going to kill him. Like, yeah. I actually was like, he just decided to just be kidding at one point, like far into it.
And so I read that that was improvised because Joe Pesci had said, "You're funny," to like a gangster. And that's kind of how he responded to him when he was like waiting tables.
No.
I don't know how true that is, but I read that somewhere on the internet. And I was like, oh, I love that. I love when people bring something from their life and they're like, oh, this works perfectly in this character. Ugh.
Yeah. I know, he feels so authentically like a gangster, though. Yes. That it's like, I feel like it's true. Like, I just feel like that's his background.
Yeah.
But he just has that. He plays it so well.
And it plays super into him being shorter than everybody else. So it's like, yes. Of course you are overcompensating and you're like, why am I funny to you? Like, so aggressive because you're, you know, trying to seem bigger than you are. Oh, I loved it.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's such a fragile little man.
Yes. I know, could fix him.
I really think I could.
Yeah.
I'm here for this love story that's going to play out over the course of 10 episodes and then end with you marrying Joe Pesci.
Oh my God.
On our live stream.
I do.
So Henry meets Karen Hill, Lorraine Bracco, a Jewish girl, on a double date with Tommy. And after a failed second date, they try again by spending a night out at the Copacabana nightclub.
Real quick.
Sometime later. Yeah.
The steady cam shot of them going in the back.
Through the restaurant.
Looked it up. They couldn't film through the front. So that happened by accident. So they went through the side entrance and they did it in 8 takes. Which is crazy to me because it's such a long, winding mm-hmm. shot. And then Ray Liotta like bumps into something and that like is so natural and great. And I think what song is playing? It's like, and then he kissed me. It's,
yeah.
Oh God. It's just like, it was so fucking juicy and yummy.
But
and
it made it so much better that they go in the back because it's like they're getting the special treatment and mm-hmm. they bring out a table and put a tablecloth down and put a candle on it. And like they just sit in front of all the tables that are already there.
And
like,
somehow there's clearly an like outlet. Sold out.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. For the little lamp. Yeah.
Yeah, no wonder Karen is so horny for him after mm-hmm. that.
I know. Yeah. And she's like, "What do you do?" And he's like, "I work in construction." She's like, "You just gave everybody a 20. Like, I don't understand." It's just so cute. But it would totally whisk you off your feet. Mm-hmm. So she calls Henry in tears a bit later, having been sexually accosted by the son of her parents' neighbor. And Henry immediately finds the young man and beats him, which was so insane because we see this guy. See her at the club that they're mm-hmm. at, like having a drink during the day or whatever. And he seems like a really sweet, like, nerd mm-hmm. who's like her neighbor. And then he accosts her and she has this whole horrible experience with him.
I feel like it's a comment on like gangsters treat her bad and a seemingly nice guy is going to treat her bad. So it's like, where is a good guy?
Yeah,
do you know
yeah.
what I mean? Like, where do you find them
where
in the
are
world?
The good fellas?
It's that's what the movie is actually trying to say. Like, but like, it's true because when you see like that guy at the, you know, wherever they are, country club, you get the feeling of like, oh, she could have this normal mm-hmm. life if she was just with him. And she's with mm-hmm. this guy who has this dark secret she doesn't even really know at this time. And then turns out that guy sucks too. So Henry goes and finds the young man and beats him with a revolver. And it's so, so nasty.
Yeah.
Like broad daylight.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
It's.
He kicks his ass.
Ugh.
And then he runs across the street with the gun or walks across and tells Karen to hide the gun, which is covered in blood.
Uh-huh.
She like doesn't even seem to
blink an eye. She was like, I am wet. Yes, I will do anything you ask me to do, which I get.
And she literally has a voiceover where she says it actually turned her on. And they get married shortly thereafter, despite her parents' disapproval. And after the wedding, she slowly learns more and more about Henry's criminal enterprises, but she comes to rationalize the gangster lifestyle. And Henry also begins an affair with a woman named Janice Rossi, Gina Mastrogiacomo, and rents her an apartment. The affairs are such a bummer because they're so involved. Like, they're like, they have full second lives. Like, it makes me so sad. I mean, it wouldn't be better, I guess, if he was just sleeping with anyone, but like, it's just so depressing that his wife doesn't know there's this like whole apartment that's like furnished by him and all this stuff and everywhere, you know, when he goes out, he's with her. It's just such a bummer.
That's my whole, with affairs, I don't know. I'm just like, it's so much work. It's like a job. You're like, why? I don't understand. Like, I don't know. I like, even morality aside, I'm like, who has the energy to keep that shit up? I could, even if I wanted to, I'd be like, it's not worth it.
Yeah, I think you can see that he doesn't value either of them that much. Mm-hmm.
But he did make it easy on himself because he was like, Friday nights, those are for the girlfriends. And I was like, yes, a set day of the week so you don't get confused.
You never have double bookings.
Also, I love at the wedding, people are just handing them bundles and bundles of cash. And she's like, oh no, that sack of cash. And he's like, everyone fucking has money here. Don't worry about it. And she's like, oh, yeah.
No one's going to steal that here.
I thought that was such a cute scene where all those envelopes coming to her. And she's kind of like, oh my God, I can't believe how much money we're getting right now. This is like, and like, she's starting to piece things. Mm-hmm. I mean, how much does she know at that point? I don't know. I feel like that's part of the puzzle coming together. But
yeah,
that perspective shift. The first time I watched it like last year, I was so, I think because we covered The Godfather and Goodfellas the same month just to like hurt ourselves, and I did not see that like perspective shift to her coming, because there's just like no interest in mob wives in mob movies, and you're just like, oh, this movie is gonna actually give a shit about Karen. That's so cool.
So in 1970, Billy Batts, Frank Vincent, a made man in the Gambino crime family, recently released from prison, demeans Tommy at a nightclub owned by Henry. Tommy and Jimmy kill Billy, but realize too late that the unsanctioned murder of a made man will invite retribution. Jimmy, Henry, and Tommy bury the body in upstate New York. I love this because I like mob shit. So it was like, you killed a made man, which means just a dude who is like actually in the mob, like really like part of it, not just on the streets, but like a part of like planning and shit. And it's like, once you kill one of those people, now it's open season. Like, anybody can kill you. Anybody from that family can kill you. Your own family can kill you. And I was like, this is so, and it happens pretty early in the movie. So I was like, so there's a target on their back for the rest of this movie. So that, and the fact that they do what they do later, I'm like, that's so ballsy.
I know, it feels so stressful. And like Henry, you can tell, I felt like he didn't really want to do all that. Like, it was too much for him. But he just keeps going because there's no option. But like, that stressed me out so much. The idea that like, you're kind of like, I don't really want to be burying a body here. Like, and everyone else is like, just go with it. Like, what the fuck's your problem? I don't know.
I also love that like during that scene where they're burying the body, or maybe they're, because they have to dig it back up a little later. Oh my God. And they're like clowning on each other so hard because Henry Hill is like barfing all over the place from like the stench.
Due to the corpse smell.
To the rotting flesh. And then Joe Pesci's like, oh, haha, what's the matter? You want an arm? You want a leg? You want a wing? And
he's just guy stuff. Yeah, I know.
Just, you always wonder what boys do when we're not around. Yeah.
He should have been a stand-up comic in another life, I think.
So yeah, this is exactly this next scene. 6 months later, Jimmy learns the burial site is slated for development, which means they have to go exhume and relocate the decomposing corpse. And Henry later witnesses Tommy murder Spider, Michael Imperioli, an errand boy. Oh, it's Michael Imperioli from White Lotus.
Oh my God. Yeah.
He was so young. And Aaron Boy, after exchanging insults with him during a card game. That blew my mind just now.
He's like famously from The Sopranos, so it's incredible to see.
He's famously.
He's like, that's not what I expected. Not really.
Oh my God. That's so perfect for this show. it's like, I'm White Lotus. But that scene was so depressing to me. Like so he comes over with drinks. He's serving the guys during a card game. And then Joe Pesci's like, just like, of course I still want a fucking drink. You think I don't want a drink? Where's my drink? What are you doing? And he's like, you said you didn't want one. And he's like stuttering and stuff. And then he basically shoots him in the foot.
Well, first he's like, dance for me, which is a thing I've seen in other things. And then, shoots him right in the fucking foot. And then they continue the card game. I know.
I was like, was that a different day or was that the same day that he just gets a bandage on it and just keeps going?
I think that's like, a different day.
Okay, so it's a different day. And then he's like,
oh, okay.
Your bandage looks stupid, basically. Yes! Like, you're such a dork.
And it's like, your foot looks too big now.
And then he shoots him and kills him because the guy tells him to fuck, like the young teen tells him to fuck off. Mm-hmm. And he just kills him. And then they're all like, what the fuck are you doing? And
you know, like, what? It's kind of like a second beat of, am I a clown to you? Why am I funny to you?
Yeah.
Because he's like, fuck you. And then Jimmy's just like, oh, you're going to let him talk to you like that? Da-da-da, riling him up. For him to have the opportunity to be like, yeah, whatever. I guess I shot him already. But instead, he fucking kills him. And Jimmy's like, I was kidding. What are you doing? And he's like, wow. You're mad about it? You're mad I shot him?
And then they're like cleaning it up. And he's like, I didn't want to get your floor bloody. Sorry. Like, he's just like, his priorities are completely all over.
They're real fucked up.
I love how Joe Pesci just like delivers the word what, where he's just like, what? Like, what? Anytime after he fucking kills somebody.
Oh, it's so good.
Yeah, they're just getting loosey goosey with it at this point.
Yeah.
That's like, I don't know. I haven't seen a lot of mob movies, but like, it's the only mob movie where it feels like aware that the guys like only sort of know what they're doing and they're like not very good at it.
Yeah.
Or they would have maybe lived longer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I do think them killing a made man emboldened them because they didn't get caught and nobody came after them quick. And I think they were like, oh, we're literally untouchable. When it's like, no, you're actually not.
Yeah. Right.
So Karen discovers Janice and threatens Henry at gunpoint. This is so
cool. Oh my God.
Cool.
That scene was amazing.
Ray Liotta is an incredible actor because you, in that, like when you're just focused on his face, you really feel like he's like, oh fuck, I don't know how I'm going to get out of this. I don't know if I'm going to get out of this.
Yeah, because she's standing over him in bed and like he basically wakes up to a gun in his face. And so you kind of think she could just do it right then.
And you just wonder. And then, you know, they wrestle and he's like, how dare you? Do you fucking like a gun in your face? And I was like, damn.
No, scary. It's like, if you're going to do that, you got to just shoot
that guy.
You
got to shoot your friend.
He's going to come get you.
It's so scary.
More women should kill their husbands. Yes.
So Henry then moves in with Janet. What's her name? Janice. But Polly insists that he should return to Karen after collecting a debt from a gambler in Tampa with Jimmy. Jimmy and Henry find the man who owes them money and dangle him over a lion cage at a zoo. Upon returning, Jimmy and Henry are arrested after being turned in by the gambler's sister, an FBI typist, where they receive a 10-year prison sentence.
And this is such a crazy moment when they're in the jail. Ugh. Like, it felt like cute. Like, they're, like, sharing a room.
Yeah.
It looks like kind of an apartment.
They're, like, college roommates. They're sharing a studio apartment, basically.
Yeah. To me, I think it's really fun because the mob is so connected everywhere. So it's like they've already prepaid to have a nice stay in prison.
Right. Like, they get to be separated. At first, I was kind of like, oh, are they separated because they'll know they'll kill people or something? Like, no, it's because they just like have all these connections and they're just a little special. So prison life is initially depicted as idyllic, with Henry sharing a very large cell with Polly and several other well-connected mobsters. They cook Italian gourmet dinners with smuggled-in ingredients, and the prison guards are bribed into compliance. To finance his prison life and support his family on the outside, Henry has Karen smuggle in food and drugs, which he sells in cooperation with a fellow inmate from Pittsburgh and a bribed member of the prison staff. Karen discovers that Henry's mistress has been visiting him from the sign-in sheet.
Wild.
And she almost publicly exposes the smuggled goods as revenge. But Henry placates her by promising that he'll be faithful from now on, that his drug deals will make them enough money to support the family without anyone finding out.
He's reliable. Let's give him another shot. Let's see how he does. Oh, God. Poor Karen. I'm just I know she has to like pretend to believe him in order to survive, but it's like
it's so sad. It's always sad when in these movies when they're yelling with these kids next to them too.
Well, I think
I'm like, what do they tell the kids?
What do they tell the kids? And I think it's really interesting that he does put kids in these horrific situations, because it's like, these kids, there's in real life, had to live through this shit, and these adults are just running around being awful. Also, did we talk about when Karen goes to Janice's house with the kids?
No. Oh yeah,
I know. And she's like threatening her on the intercom doorbell or whatever. Oh, so good.
I like that the movie doesn't also just like make Janice out to be like an evil bimbo character too. Mm-hmm. Like you could tell that she's scared. She also doesn't know how to get out of the situation. She knows that Henry's basically evil and not doing great. And I don't know. It's so nice to see mob movies be like, these women are in a bad situation.
And she does say, I think when the gun is in his face, he's like, are you crazy? She's like, you make me crazy. And it's like a nice thing to be like, she knows that he is the reason why she feels this way, but she can't get out. She's such a like a full three-dimensional character that I didn't expect to see in this movie.
Totally.
So 4 years later, in 1978, Henry is paroled and secretly expands his cocaine business with Jimmy and Tommy against Polly's orders. Jimmy organizes a crew to raid the Lufthansa vault at the John F. Kennedy International Airport, stealing over $6 million in cash and jewelry. After some members purchase expensive items against Jimmy's orders and the getaway truck is found by the police, he has most of the crew except Tommy and Henry murdered.
I loved that car, the pink convertible or whatever it was. I was like, you know, it was reckless, but there's only so many cars like that out there.
That montage, right? It's like Barbie's car. That montage where they're like bodies are being uncovered, like either they're in like dump trucks, garbage trucks, things like that. It's just so good. And I forget what song's playing over that montage too, but you're just like,
Because now I think we're in the 70s with the music. It's like it kind of takes a turn from the 50s pretty quickly, or I guess they did some 60s stuff too, but it jumps to that sort of like rock and roll, and it's really fun. And yeah, like the body hanging in like the frozen like butcher truck.
That's so good.
I was sad to see him go. I liked him.
He's in The Wedding Singer. That's what I recognize him from. Also, Samuel L. Jackson's in this movie.
Yes,
he is.
Yeah, he's the guy who gets shot. He's the guy in his underwear
in the apartment.
Yeah. Sorry, you're gonna have to be more specific.
Joe Pesci's like, go make coffee.
He's the guy who gets shot in Goodfellas.
Yeah, narrows it down.
Yeah, and then he's get that underwear coffee to go. Yes. And then he's like, what are you doing? That scene is so funny.
It is so funny. I got to watch that part again because I didn't see his face well enough. I feel like that's so cool for that to be him. So Tommy's later deceived by the mafia leadership into believing he is to become a made man. This part made me so sad. And is murdered as retribution for murdering bats and other infractions against the organization. Jimmy grieves for Tommy, knowing he's incapable of avenging him. This was so sad. So they're all getting so pumped because he's about to be a made man, which means they have someone on the inside. And Nicole, I'm sure you know more about this, but it basically kind of sets them all up for like safety.
Yeah, because Jimmy and Henry aren't fully Italian. It's explained in the movie they can't be made. So it's like having someone on their little team who is made means that they can influence Polly to do some things that they want to do.
Yeah, and then so Joe Pesci gets taken into this like room. He thinks he's going into, I don't know, have some
a ceremony,
have a nice dinner, or like a
yeah.
And then he sees the room, which is like really odd. And he immediately goes, "Oh no!" And it's like a real scary,
yeah.
"Oh no!" And then they shoot him, and then he's dead.
And the fucked up thing is, they shoot him in the face, so his mother can't have an open yes. casket. Mm-hmm. So it's like, not only are we killing you, we're gonna make your mother suffer.
Yeah.
Well, so also, brutal. How bitchy is it that the other mob guys who are like going to be like making him a made man lead him to believe that he's being made, only to kill him? What, like, also right then it's like, oh no, you're gonna be made,
it's
and
so,
it's like, just kidding, we're killing you.
Yeah,
it's so bitchy. I love it.
Yeah, yeah. And Henry says later something about like the person who kills you is gonna have a smile on their face, so you don't know it's coming. And I was like, fuck, mm-hmm. that is so mm-hmm. that's scary. That's so fucking mm-hmm. yeah. You just live like that.
Oh, God, yes. Another perfect Joe Pesci line read. The oh no, like,
I know.
You're like, oh. Horrible.
I know. Really, you could feel the fear.
You really could. And then De Niro's just incredible. Like, as a man who is so sad, but also is like, I'm a man, and like cries, knocks over a telephone booth, cries again. And then Henry like tries to hug him, but is also like, I don't really understand love.
Yeah.
Male displays of affection? I don't know.
The film shifts to a momentous day in Henry's life. Sunday, the 11th of May, 1980. All the messy threads of Henry's life all collide. Henry has a large cocaine shipment that needs to go out, a family meal to make and host, a mistress to calm down, all while high on cocaine and being followed by a surveillance helicopter. Backing out of the driveway at the end of the night, Henry is arrested and brought in for questioning. This is the chunk of the film where I was like on edge.
Yes, it's so good.
So much happens
yes.
in this movie. Like, there, it's so insane how much stuff happens, and it feels really short mm-hmm. still.
And it's sort of like all the stakes are equal. Like, mixing the pasta sauce is as important as like, you know, running from the uh-huh. helicopter and like going over to the mistress's place, who is I can't think of her name right now.
Madonna's friend.
I know, and I follow her on Instagram, and I can't think of
Debbie Mazar.
Yes.
Debbie Mazar.
Yes.
Whoa.
I love her. She always posts the best like throwback pictures on Instagram. She's a really fun follow, but I love that she ended up becoming a bigger character, because like yeah. in that earlier scene, you see her and he kind of like seems like he's going to like kiss her or something, and then like mm-hmm. follows her and she's like, what? And then they have this whole relationship, which he is just basically using her to have a place to push the drugs out of. Also, there's a part where... they're like bagging, like they're weighing cocaine, and then there's like these balls, like the like yeah. the like perfect spheres. And then I was like, is an eight ball a ball? I didn't think it was a ball. And then I Google eight ball of cocaine, and then the first thing that pops up is, if you need help, call this number. I was like Googling how to get one.
Like, Google was like, oh no, Lauren's fallen on hard times. The strike really affected her.
But is an eight ball literally a ball?
No, all the pictures that I found were not balls. So I was like, what were those?
What were the balls?
I was like, I don't know what they were. I was so curious.
Maybe that's how it originated. I don't know.
Yeah.
But yeah, I
don't know.
I just know it as an eighth of
yeah.
cocaine.
More drugs should come in sphere form.
Yeah. It seemed fun. Make it's like it those fun. Like cool.
That's
cool
why
ice
acid
cube
is
trays.
Fun, because you get yeah. a little cartoon on it. You're like, this is fun. I forget when she first comes in, but one of my favorite characters, I forgot she existed, but the babysitter,
yes.
Lois, I feel like that's as close as I come to feeling seen within this movie, where I'm like,
yes.
I'm not a carrot. I wish I was. Mm-hmm. I know I'm not. I feel like I'm the babysitter with the lucky hat.
Yeah, yeah. Like, she's perfect.
I want my hat. Like,
I know, but then I was like, I thought she was going to get away with it because she didn't have the drugs all strapped to her like she was about to.
But yeah. she
but then
called
they,
from
they
the
had been
house.
Tapped.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I also love, we don't forget about Karen. Karen's down dirty with him. She fucked up. They look terrible running around going shopping, being like, there's a helicopter. Like, they are not okay.
They look so fucked up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And she flushes the coat down the toilet when he doesn't know, which is a really great moment in
yeah.
it. Like, the panic where she's like, just like shaking the bag and like uh-huh. trying to like get rid of it. And then so after bailing him out, Karen reveals that she flushed $60,000 worth of coke down the toilet to prevent FBI agents from finding it during the raid of their home, leaving them penniless. He's so upset and he wants to kill her. And Polly reproaches Henry for dealing drugs behind his back and severs the relationship with $3,200. Karen goes to Jimmy for help, but eventually flees upon suspecting he is setting up a trap to murder her. This part was so intense.
Yeah,
so
like, he's like, come on, just keep going.
She goes and he gives her some money and he's being super nice. And he's like, hey, do you want some dresses that I got? Like some like Dior or something? Like they're down, there's a couple doors down. And she's like, okay. And she's like getting suspicious and she's walking down the street. And then she sees this like really weird storefront where these guys are like doing stuff. And she's like, clearly I'm about to be killed in there. And she runs away. And it's like, it's so stressful. And I also was like, he's just watching her leave. Like, I guess he has no option there, but it he was probably like, damn, that didn't work.
No, she got away.
I was like, Jimmy, you know, she's not stupid.
Yeah. Like, come on.
But I also kind of
why don't you just kill her in that space you're in?
That it's open-ended. Is he trying to kill her? Is he scaring her to? I think maybe he wasn't trying to kill her because the last thing he wants is her to go to Henry and be like, "I think they're gonna kill you."
Yeah, right. But she doesn't really explain it when she sees Henry. No. She doesn't fully say. She just says she got scared.
It's because she didn't say that she went to go see Jimmy. So it's funny because everyone in this movie is like doing underhanded things or like not telling anybody shit to get themselves more in trouble.
Yes.
Well, so much of the like theme is like, are you a rat? Are you going to be a rat? Are you going to rat out your friends? And so maybe she's just like, I'm not a rat. I'm not going to rat out Jimmy for maybe about to kill me. But also it's like, maybe she was just super paranoid from on account of all the cocaine balls she was eating.
Right, exactly. Yeah. Like maybe nothing was really happening there and there actually were dressed in there. I guess we don't really know.
Yeah, Jimmy's like, damn, she would have looked great in those.
What am I going to do with all
those dresses? Why'd she run away? I was just trying to give her a little gift.
So Henry later meets Jimmy at a diner and he's asked to travel on a hit assignment, but the novelty of such a request makes Henry suspicious. That definitely felt like, oh, he's trying to send you over there to kill you too. So he doesn't do it. But those moments where they're turning on each other and it's all like shifting are really, really fun.
Yeah, I fucking love. And I love that Karen is like, but you don't need me to go on witness protection. And the guy who is playing the guy at witness protection is actually the guy who put Henry, the real life Henry, in witness protection. He plays himself in the movie.
Whoa.
Yeah. He seemed so real to me.
Because he seemed
like a regular guy.
Yeah. And he improvised the line,
cameo.
What are you, a babe in the woods? That's a line that he came up with. I truly was Googling until 2 a.m. because I loved this movie so fucking
much. I love
much.
That.
I love Karen is like, not ready to give up the life. She became accustomed to this thing. And she's like, you don't need me. You don't need my kids. I can't see my family. And it's like, bitch, you're going to die.
It's so weird that it feels like till the end for both of them, there's still like an element of like the lifestyle that is a game to them. Even when their lives are completely busted and they're like on the verge of death, they're like, well, no, we could still do whatever we want. Right.
They get put in witness protection and they just end up, the movie ends with him having this like really boring life in the suburbs where he orders spaghetti and gets like, I got egg noodles with ketchup.
Yeah.
And it's like a very funny detail at the end of just like his life being like, now this is what I'm doing. I'm over here getting my paper, my normal lawn. And that's it.
And
He
stays in witness protection, I think, until 1987. And then he is arrested for trafficking narcotics. And then I believe he and Karen got divorced right after that.
Yeah,
good
and then,
for her.
Who was it who ended up? There was something in the where they were explaining where everyone ends up. Someone's in jail until like 2004.
Yeah, that was Jimmy, I think, and he was released when he was like 78. And then Paulie died of, lung something in jail.
Yes.
Boy, oh boy,
it's so fun because we haven't even said it's a true story, but it is.
Yeah, so like, I'm seeing like Henry Hill lived until 2012.
Wow, that's so crazy. It's crazy to like have a movie like this be made about you and to still just be like out there doing your shit. Like when it's like, this is like not a good look.
He also got paid a lot of money for the movie. I think it was $480,000 in 1990 is like, that's a lot of fucking money.
Crime pays, baby.
Still pays.
Okay, should we become mobsters and then sell our life rights?
Yeah. I think we're doing this wrong.
Yeah, do some crime, write a book about it. And the reason why Marty wanted to do this is because he said that the book was the most honest depiction of mob life because it was a lot of like day-to-day stuff. And I was like, oh, that's interesting.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm like, okay, wait, this is just from Wikipedia, so who knows if it's true, but it's saying that Henry Hill and Ray Liotta did a photo shoot together in 2006, and Ray Liotta was like, Henry, you have to go, like, you have to be sober, you have to go to AA, and Henry Hill was like, okay, and then he did
what?
It.
Whoa.
Wow. I know.
That's insane.
That's beautiful.
That is beautiful.
I'm trying to get that murderer to stop drinking. That's very sweet. Well, wow. This movie grossed $6.3 million from 1,070 theaters in opening weekend, which topped the box office. And Joe Pesci won the Oscar for Best Supporting Actor. And the speech, I did look this up last night. It's so cute. We have to watch the speech. It's a very sweet moment.
I love it.
Here, let's see if I can share. Now I'll try sharing my screen.
Okay, cool.
The Oscar goes to Joe Pesci in Goodfellas.
Yeah. Well, it's my privilege. Thank you.
No.
Oh my God, I want to cry. That's
every Oscar speech should be that short.
Yeah, it's the shortest speech ever, and it's really just so
I
moving.
Love it.
I know.
I love him. Wow.
He's perfect, everyone. All right, let's jump into some trivia from this. Nicole's sobbing.
He's just so humble and wonderful.
I know. It's a really cute speech. Now everyone gets up there and says something for like 20 minutes and names every agent they've ever had. And you're like, we don't care.
We don't know these people. Move it along.
No. They started doing a thing on the Emmys where they would just like put the agents or, you know, they put like the name of all the people they want to thank on the screen, but then you could talk and not say it, which I was like, that's good. We don't need to hear a list of names. I want to hear like one motivational thing or like a thoughtful thing. I don't know. Some emotional
moment.
I want
to hear like war is bad.
Yeah. Tell me about war.
Yeah. Because I only know that from when celebrities do that. So that's always really helpful to me.
I forget.
Here's a little trivia for you. So according to Nicholas Pileggi, some mobsters were hired as extras to lend authenticity to scenes. The mobsters gave Warner Brothers fake social security numbers and no one knows how they received their paycheck.
That is so fucking funny. Whoa.
That rocks.
It's so good.
Honestly, probably through a Teamster who then went to accounting and was like, cash. while directing his mother, Catherine Scorsese didn't tell her that the character's son had just killed somebody and the body was in the trunk of his car. He only told her that her son was home for dinner and to cook for them.
That is so cute. So I wonder if there were even lines. Was that all improv? Because it was very like loose and conversational feeling. I wonder if that was just all improv.
Yeah, I want to know who's responsible for there's one dog face in one way, there's one dog face in the other way. I'm like, I feel like that feels like Joe Pesci improv.
Yeah, and she's like, what do you care which way they look? Like, she says something like,
one face east, one face west, what's the big deal?
Robert De Niro wanted to use real money for the scene where Jimmy hands out money because he didn't like the way fake money felt in his hands. The prop master gave De Niro $5,000 of his own money. At the end of each take, no one was allowed to leave the set until all the money was returned and counted. But it is so much better when it's real.
Yeah, I agree.
Fake money on TV feels fake, and it is. Yeah. I always thought there was like a legal reason, but I guess it is probably more about theft.
People stealing shit. Yeah.
Yeah. I like that the prop master's like, don't let De Niro rob me.
He's okay. You know, he's not really this character, right?
He's got $5,000 for sure.
Time for another break.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app today to get free delivery on your first three orders, while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient, comfortable. Ah.
We're back, and we've got the new Academy Awards. Scorsese, he's been nominated 100 times. He's only won one, which seems crazy. Now we're presenting the first annual new Academy Awards. All right, best food scene. And the nominees are Polly's Backyard Sausage Barbecue Party, The Bamboo Room Banquet Table Where All the Gangsters Have a Dinner Together, the collaborative prison sauce making scene where Polly slices garlic with a razor.
Oh, yeah. Mm. That was very sweet.
I loved it. That's what I'm voting for. I love
that's my vote.
This big mobster, like, thinly slicing garlic.
I like that, too. I feel like that was a kind of iconic moment mm-hmm. when he's just using a razor to make the garlic super. He's like, it melts right away in the pan.
It's a close race for me. I love a sausage party. It feels very inherent to this movie. I'll go with prison garlic too.
Caitlin, thoughts?
Oh yeah, no, that was mine. Although I would like to say honorary mention to Henry Hill's brother stirring the sauce in that like chaotic sequence where all the stuff's happening.
That is real. That's true.
You only have control over so many things.
Wait, in the scene where he picks up his brother from the hospital, I love that the doctor's like, you're sweaty, fidgety, seem anxious. Here's Valium.
I know.
You're like, was that what the 80s were like?
I guess so. And the new Academy Award goes to Polly slicing garlic with a teeny little razor. Yeah. Congratulations.
Allie, you want to do this one?
Sure. So this is best line delivery. And the nominees are, as far back as I can remember, I always wanted to be a gangster. Henry Hill,
so good
narration. Next is, I'm funny how? I mean, funny like I'm a clown. I amuse you. I make you laugh. I'm here to fucking amuse you. What do you mean funny? Funny how? How am I funny? Tommy DeVito to Henry Hill at the Copacabana. And then last one is, I know there are women, like my best friends, who would have gotten out of there the minute their boyfriend gave them a gun to hide. But I didn't. I got to admit the truth. It turned me on. Kieran Hill after Henry beats up a guy for her.
That's such a good one.
It is.
I mean, I have to vote for Funny How.
Same. Just, I know.
Just perfect.
And the new Academy Award goes to Joe Pesci for Funny How.
Mm-hmm. So good.
See, I feel like his work saying, oh no, is underrated. But as long as he takes the win, I'll take it.
The oh no was perfect. Mm-hmm. Let's jump into best soundtrack song. So the nominees are Rags to Riches by Tony Bennett from the opening scene. Mm-hmm. Then He Kissed Me by The Crystals from the Copacabana scene. Gimme Shelter, that's the one that we were trying to remember. Rolling Stones, Henry promises Polly he won't get involved with drugs. Mm-hmm. And it's also a Scorsese favorite that we're going to see in the future, apparently. We have a little note here.
Oh.
Or My Way by Sid Vicious from the Sex Pistols covering the Frank Sinatra hit in the final scene.
Hmm. My Way's, that final scene is really great, but I loved Then He Kissed Me. It like, the music made me fall in love with them as a couple, and it really made me buy that Cameron was like into this. Then He Kissed Me.
And it came during that amazing, I don't know, I feel like it goes so perfect with that perfect shot that goes on for 45 minutes. Yes. And I could watch that shot continue until they were in fucking like Arizona. It was so cool.
Caitlin, what was your favorite?
Oh, I'm going to go with the opening song when like open the trunk and all that kind of stuff.
Mm. That was, yes. I mean, I thought, Gimme Shelter was a great turn, that moment when that just like suddenly it's like, now it's the 70s. Everyone's dead. Everyone's like, I love that. But I'm voting for Then He Kissed Me Too, because also I feel like, Nicole, that one really stood out to you, that you even named it earlier. Like it was that song felt so important. Mm-hmm. But yeah, do we have a tie, or are we on? I think it's And Then He Kissed Me.
We did it.
Congrats to that song. It's now time for Score Sezzy. It's time for our reviews. We are going to be reading reviews from Letterboxd, and then we will each give the film a one-sentence review ourselves and a star rating. And for anyone who doesn't know, Letterboxd is a social platform where people can write reviews of films. And we are on there at Newcomers. If you want to see all of our reviews, you can just go do that. This first review comes from Brendan O'Hare, 5 stars. Love when young Henry Hill talks about why he wanted to be a gangster. And the first thing he mentions is that they got to park in front of fire hydrants without getting in trouble.
That
was funny.
That is very, very funny.
It is true. Okay, so everyone is going to give a one sentence review and how many stars you would like to give.
Okay, I'll go first. I'm going to give it 10 stars, which is double the amount you're allowed. I loved it. I loved how fast paced it was. I love how it made me feel anxious. I love that Karen was just a show. She was a showcase. I love Joe Pesci. This is my favorite movie, maybe.
Yeah.
What a terrible review I just gave.
I thought it was really good.
It was perfect.
Anybody else? Anya, Allie, Caitlin, Jamie?
I'm trying to think of something. I'm ready. One sentence clever.
I've got 5 stars. Mm-hmm. The absolute blueprint. It's beautiful.
I logged this on Letterboxd before we came in today, and I gave it 5 stars. And my review was, I'd say they were rather bad sunglasses emoji.
Bad
Goodfellas, more like bad fellas.
Yeah. I'm going to give it 5 stars as well. I think, you know, how do I even begin?
Yeah.
Great storytelling, great music, great acting. A perfect film. I'm sad I haven't seen it sooner.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I also read somewhere, because I can't stop with the trivia, that the end, when the scenes are getting like choppier and choppier, that like test audiences didn't like it. So the woman who edited it went back and made them shorter.
Oh, wow. Hmm. Just to fuck
with
them.
That's so cool.
To be like, to make it more intense.
More choppy. Yeah.
I want to learn more about his editor, because I know that they work together like almost exclusively. And Thelma Schoonmaker?
Yes, we've talked about her. She's like amazing.
Yeah, it's, oh God, it's so, and she was nominated for an Oscar too. I feel like you never hear about like women as like lead editors, and the fact that they've worked together for so long is so cool.
Do you think she would do our podcast? She's 84. Do you think she can hop on Zoom?
Thelma, we can have the show.
Always worth a shot.
I just gonna say, I also feel like there's a iconic, I feel like in film class in college, I was shown that the diner scene. I don't know if we talked about that moment where like it's a dolly zoom. So it's like they're zooming in and you can see in the window, everything's like, it just feels crazy, because I think that's like zooming out, but the camera's moving closer, and it's like this like whirlwind effect.
Vertigo.
So that's
effect.
Like a very, yes, like an iconic, I think Hitchcock used it first. Obviously it's like been used before, but that's like the shot that people talk about along with the Copacabana scene.
That's cool. Oh wait, we didn't get everyone's review, did we?
Yeah. Sorry. I still have to go.
We still need Allie and Caitlin. Okay.
I'll give it 5 stars. And my one sentence review is, this movie makes me hungry and makes me want to eat a ball of cocaine.
I'm also going to give it 5 stars, and I'm going to say, great movie, great book. We'll watch it any day. No questions asked.
Yes.
You've read the book?
It's so good.
Whoa. Wow.
Maybe I'll get it.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm so impressed when someone has read a book.
All right. All right. I'll read a book. Ooh, Thelma was you're better born than me because you read a book. I'm learning over here.
You think you're better than me?
Yeah, you're over here Googling Thelma.
I love Thelma. Thelma, do our podcast.
I'm truly so excited that we all loved this so much. That's just delightful. And we thank you so much, Caitlin and Jamie, for being on the show.
Thank you.
Oh, thanks for having us.
Do you guys have anything you want to plug?
I mean, you can just plug our show. Podcast, the Bechdel Cast, and we're going on tour in Europe in May. People should
Where
come
are
to
you
those
going?
Shows. Mostly cities in the UK and maybe Dublin. We're still trying to confirm it.
Amazing.
Okay, fun.
That's really fun.
Yeah, we have new episodes come out every Thursday on iHeartRadio.
Great. And I'm sure people would want to check out the Goodfellas episode to hear the full Bechdel analysis.
Which is on our Patreon. So it is behind a paywall. Ooh, okay. But it's only $5
a
month.
Whole dollars.
Go pony
money.
Up. Well, thank you to our listeners. Please go review our show as well on Apple Podcasts and rate the podcast on Spotify. 5 stars only. We're going to be back next week with Casino. Came out in 1995.
Ooh, I've seen that.
I don't know anything about it.
I know it probably takes place in a casino.
Okay, that's maybe the one thing I was gonna
it. Please, that's all I know.
Please enjoy Sharon Stone in Casino.
Oh,
she's perfect.
Is this like an iconic thing that we definitely are aware of but don't know that we're not? You know what I mean? Like,
I saw it last year and she just like blew my mind. She's so good. Now I ride for her forever. You'll
Ooh,
love
can't
me.
Wait to watch
excited.
It.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we'll see you next week.
Okay.
Bye.
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 Newcomers
is a HeadGum original hosted by us, Nicole Byer and Lauren Lapkus. Our executive producer is Anya Kenevskaya, and our producer is Ali Khan. Our theme music, editing, sound mixing, and mastering is done by Ferris Manchi. Listen to new episodes wherever you get your podcasts every Tuesday.
Was a HeadGum original.